Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now we're going to burn some sage in here, make sure everything's going to be okay. By the way, there are tree fairies, and that's where we're going to that subject of trees, the clan around us. And there's a man who's on a mission to restore Ireland's native woodlands, which is a very good idea to do because we've got very little cover, as we're going to talk about now in a second. Our native trees in particular, we know the ones. Garrod McAvoy is in the studio. Welcome, Garrod.
Hi, Oliver. Thanks very much for having me.
From reforestnation.ie, but we'll tell you all the details. You grew up on a farm, is that where in... Tarmanfechan.
Tarmanfechan, County Laird, not too far where you're from.
Come on into the microphone here. And,
yeah, so don't my be first time doing radio, as you can tell.
What kind of a farm did you grow up in there?
It was originally, it was kind of a dairy-based farm. It then switched to meat and then became a turkey farm. Yeah. And so we had like lots of different kinds of animals on the farm. And I think growing up in a farm environment close to nature, it kind of gives you more of appreciation for nature than, say, growing up in a city.
You're so outside a good bit. Were you handy on the farm?
I mean, my father probably said I could have probably did a bit better. You know, the way young people are nowadays, they're not quite as good as they used
Never
to be.
Never seen. And how young are you?
Pardon?
How young are you? What age are you?
I'm 24. So,
24. Generation X.
Generation X, yeah. Okay. So it's...
But as we're about to discover, you're not afraid of work. Because you went down, first of all, down to Tralee, is it? That's where you did your studies down there. What did you study?
Yeah, so I studied wildlife biology down in Tralee. And it was, you know, it was a nice experience. We'd go out every week to the Killarney National Park. Yeah. And I loved it. It was a great course.
Is that where the rhododendrons are causing trouble?
They're causing a lot of trouble, unfortunately. It's a big issue. And it's something that there's still not enough kind of backing towards trying to prevent.
Really? I feel like we had those conversations years ago about that.
Yeah, the staff, unfortunately, in the park are quite understaffed. This is something they always tell us. So it's very difficult. It's a very difficult issue to solve. Yeah. The rhododendron, they spread very easily.
They do.
And cutting down one, it's like, you know, the next one will just appear, and then the next one, and they spread in the wind.
They spread.
So it's a tough challenge to fix. Combined with the overgrazing of the deer, it's a real big threat to Ireland's native woodlands.
Okay, and we do worship ourselves as the Green Island, but it is grasslands really, isn't it? We don't have enough forest
cover. Yeah, it's if you ever look at Ireland, maybe from an astronaut's perspective, it's very green. But when you actually get down in there and you look and see what's growing, you'll find most of Ireland is a monoculture. It's a monoculture island. Yeah. You know, almost all of it is one plant, perennial ryegrass, which, you know, us farmers would know as silage grass.
Yeah.
And then after that, well, in terms of trees, most of it is non-native conifer plantations.
Right, so it's for harvesting. It's the Scandinavian native trees.
Exactly. Well, they're actually from Canada originally.
Oh, right,
and
right.
It's usually one or two species max you'll find in a forest. Yeah. And I say forest in quotes. It's not really a forest. They're really a long-term crop destined to be cut down. And so of our 12% forest cover, which is the lowest in the EU, only 2% is actual native indigenous trees.
It's shocking. It really is. I mean, I've flown into Germany a couple of times over the years, and it's the most forested country in Europe, and you can literally see it from every place you fly into.
It's a big difference.
And a huge population, and we're like very depopulated, but it is the intensive farming that we've undergone. And people will also point out that the Brits cut down quite a lot of trees in Ireland.
They were part of it. They get a lot of slack for it, but you know what? By the time the Brits really started cutting down a lot of trees, we already had deforested a lot of the island simply for firewood. People don't think, they think, oh, with the ships, they cut down all the ships.
We were
for
frozen.
The oak. We were cold, and you go out and you cut down some trees and you heat your family and you can cook your meal. And it really just came down to a lot of that as well. There was about maybe 15% or so forest cover towards the end, and then the Brits kind of finished that last bit off. So they were a role to play, but it wouldn't be fair to say it was all their own doing.
But we're in big trouble. 2% is the native cover. I presume we're in extra trouble because ash is the most common native Irish tree, I believe, and obviously dieback is going to wipe out 90% to them. I think this year, I don't know, you're studying these things, but I felt this year I noticed dieback more than ever. That, you know, in the height of summer when everything's in bloom, they're just these dead trees and they're all ash trees.
Yeah, so I did my 4-year project in college on this, on the dieback, and it is a huge issue. It's something that's not too obvious. Even at the moment, it's quite gradual. When a tree gets the ash dieback, which is a fungal disease that originally came from a garden centre tree, the Manchurian ash, It spread to the ash tree and it kind of kills it over many years. If it's a young tree, it will come quick. If it's an older tree, it might take a long time. But it's not something you notice straight away. I had a friend of mine, a tree actually fell into their cars and they had no idea the tree was dying because it doesn't look like you'll find that there'll be still a lot of leaves on it, but one day a little storm will come by, it will just fall. Mm-hmm. And you know, the problem, as you were saying, is ash is so important in Ireland for biodiversity. If you were to take any tree out of the hedgerows and weigh it, ash would weigh the most. It has the most biomass of any tree. So if we lose that from the landscape, which it's looking like we will, to be honest, it's going to be a big impact.
It's noticeable already. And as you say, it's the people who own the land that the tree is standing on are currently responsible for making sure that doesn't fall on anyone. It's going to be, I'm amazed people aren't just talking about this more and more. It's like we're going into an election, maybe it'll come up.
Yeah,
because farmers were the first people to spot this, weren't they? And they were warned not to cut the tree down. If they had, we might have controlled it, but unfortunately. But anyway, aside from all that, what are you doing about all of this?
Well, I suppose I started the project where I'm from in Termonfleck in County Louth. And it was back in the pandemic and I didn't have too much to do. And my father kind of suggested, like a lot of young people, do something productive, get up off your backside and go out and do something. So we started planting a few thousand trees around the area, and it just kept growing and growing to the point now where we are officially announcing we've planted over 1 million trees now to date. So it's been incredible. It's just been 3 or 4 years now since we started. So there's great momentum.
When you were planting those thousand trees, where did you plant them and where did you get the trees from and who did the planting?
Yeah, so in the beginning, it was a lot of like hard manual labour. It was myself, my friend, my father to plant the first 5,000 trees.
Wow.
I wanted to plant 10,000 the first season, but college commitments kind of got in the way of that. So I had to settle for 5.
Yeah.
And it was during the pandemic, so, you know, couldn't really get volunteers, no help. But, you know, each year after that, it's been kind of progressively easier from a manual point of view. But we've been, you know, really lucky to have so many volunteers across the country. Many of the people who support us are volunteers. And it's quite cyclical like that because the people who support us will actually then get to come and plant their trees. And in doing so, we have free labour to actually get all the work done, which is great.
Which is the most expensive part. And when you say 1 million trees, not all of them in Ireland.
Not all of them in Ireland. You know, when we started the project, we wanted to think, how can we be most efficient about this and have the biggest possible impact? And, you know, it's really important to plant trees in Ireland. Obviously, we've lost, you know, so much of our woodland. But there is areas of the world currently that are going through the same process that Ireland went through.
Right.
And in a way, it could be even more extreme because they're biodiversity hotspots. There's animals there than nowhere else in the world. For example, Madagascar, we started working with a project out there. And they've been tremendous, not only, pardon the pun, tremendous, not only in terms of the actual, you know, helping preserve the biodiversity, but also helping raise people out of poverty by employing them to plant trees. Because kind of like in Ireland in the past, one of the biggest reasons, and this surprised a lot of people, for deforestation in the world is cutting down trees for firewood.
Yeah.
And so if we can change people's mindsets to see the woodlands as not a resource to take from, but maybe a way to actually make an income preserving, that could be a great thing.
It's an extraordinary project. Well done, 1 million trees. For our purposes then in Ireland, do you get farmers to just kind of donate land to the cause? Obviously, they still own the land, but is that how it works at the moment?
So especially in the beginning, like we worked with a lot of different landowners. You know, we're in a position in Ireland that basically all land is owned by somebody.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of efficiency, it makes a lot more sense to work with people who already own land instead of spending a lot of money on new land.
Yeah.
So we get approached by hundreds of different landowners every year,
wow.
More than we could ever need. And hopefully one day we'll be able to actually fill up all the land with trees. But for now, we pick a certain amount
all
of
over
them,
the country.
All over the country. I was astonished, you know. I think people, even myself, have a kind of mindset that farmers don't care about the environment and they wouldn't be in this kind of mindset.
That is the portrayal,
But it is changing and you're getting a lot of people who might have a bit of land, it might not be super productive, or in some cases, very productive, who might want to give it up for nature to rewild their land. And so we've been getting a lot of support through that.
Do they get any benefit, the farmers? Because there's no real incentive, is there, to pay to put the trees down at the minute, is there? The rep scheme has finished up.
Yeah, there is some different grants and things that farmers can apply for. And they do get money from planting native trees, which I think is a great thing because, you know, Ireland has been quite behind in that. The UK has been great at incentivizing farmers to kind of restore their land.
Yeah.
In terms of with us, I suppose they're kind of coming from purely a kind of ecological mindset where their dream is just to have kind of a flourishing woodland on their land. One of our great landowners we work with, she's basically dedicated it in memory of her father because he loved trees. And in doing so, we've created one of the largest of this particular kind of forests in Europe, in County Wicklow.
Very good. People can, it's coming up to Christmas, thinking of gifts and so on. And trees are often a thing that people do. And that's what you're kind of asking or inviting people to be involved in this project from.
Yeah, so one of the biggest, most crucial ways we've been able to fund the work we're doing is through our Gift a Tree program. Mm-hmm. And it's been really popular. I'm trying not to say tremendously popular. it's kind of in the dialect now. So it's you know, the problem with Christmas is that there's a lot of waste. Do you know, how many times have we given a gift and we're not even sure if the person likes it? And there's actually been studies done on it, and about 20% of gifts you give over the Christmas will actually be, you know, not appreciative, not used, and you know, actually thrown away.
It's a feel good thing, isn't
it?
Yeah,
so 20% of gifts will actually be thrown away in a landfill within a year. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, 20%, which is a huge amount,
yeah.
And 40% of corporate gifts.
How much is it to gift a tree?
It starts from €29 to gift three trees.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the more, I suppose, you spend, the lower it costs. And it's funny, you mentioned this, I actually have a gift here for you.
Oh my goodness, yeah, lovely.
So this is an Irish oak tree.
Yep.
I'll make sure, because I have one for your producer as well for inviting me on the show. Oh, I want to make sure I give you the right one.
And can people visit these trees? Can I go and
they
see
can,
my tree?
Exactly.
And
say, I'm just kind of cheeky giving you this because now you have a reason to come and meet me again. Yeah, okay. and come out to the forest and visit your trees.
No, I absolutely want to do that when I get the time, probably in the new year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Reforestnation.ie.
Reforestnation.ie.
For the gifting and to find out everything else you do, including, I presume, getting involved as a volunteer, which you're
looking for. The great thing is when you do gift the tree, you'll be invited to come out and actually plant your trees and essentially be a volunteer.
Do I have to declare the tree that I've been given? You don't have to,
but you can always come out and take a picture with it. Yeah. We had our first forest viewing days recently, and people got to come out and see their trees. And
what a thrill
really nice.
That is. That's a brilliant idea. Reforestnation.ie, Garode McAvoy, well done. Congratulations and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. One more break before
From
we go.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by itsforwomen.ie. Irish online car insurance that's driven to offer big discounts and even bigger rewards.